Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley. Today's guest, Mallory Jane. Hello, Mallory.
Hello.
Mallory joins us every Wednesday in chat. Mallory did the art for the Dad Emails, the art for Nice Try Tricksters, the album, the art for the new logo that you see right now for this very show, and I got to know him, and I would consider you, Mallory, a close friend, and I think you're very, very interesting to talk to, and I'm glad you're here.
Wow. Well, I do all of those things. I did do all of those things. I consider you a close friend, too.
I'll take it. Great. Thank you. By the way, I talked to Henda today. She said she's doing research, but she's going to vote for Trump. I'm just kidding. I'm going to say horrible things about Henda until she comes back to defend herself.
Rude. Well, Henda, if you're there, I'll be defending you. Well, if I can.
I'm excited about all these little things. The new logo, our plan for what we do when we go live. Look at this. It's a little, I don't know what it does, but Craig recommended it. It's like a little pad with different buttons that I push in. I think sounds are going to happen. Like somebody could say something, and I'll be like, fart. It's very exciting.
First thought, fart. Yeah. No, very exciting stuff.
Very excited. I follow you online. And I see a lot of your personal art, and some of it really seems heavy that I don't know if I'm supposed to hit like. Sometimes it's like, this really seems like child, like you were abused as a child. Do I hit like?
How'd you guess?
Right?
Yes, I was abused as a child. I will take all the likes for whatever reason. Just because you're hitting like doesn't mean you're like co-signing the abuse.
Okay.
So just want to, you know, take that off of your conscience.
If you do some kind of art and it looks like a child being abused, should people hit like and comment? Should they say, hey, this is what I think, this is what I got out of it? Like, I feel like a comment would also be extra. Is it not my place? I just enjoy it. Enjoy's a weird word.
Well, I mean, but what is life if not a balance between pain and joy? Constantly. I don't know, man. Do whatever feels right to you. that you're thinking about it this much. Maybe it's okay that you don't engage with it. Okay. But some people engage with it. I get some DMs. Those are some are weird and creepy.
Sure.
But some people who engage with the art, they'll message me and be like, oh, this hit my heart really hard. What was this about? What did this mean to you? And I don't know, something about the chaos of it just hits some people in a specific way.
When you do put personal art that's heavy, mm-hmm. sometimes you put art that isn't and people get confused and you have to explain that? Like, no, that really was just a cat on a house.
Again, like I just said, what is life if not a mix of joy and pain altogether? Yeah, sometimes I'm silly, but no, there's always, I feel like, an underbelly of darkness with everything that I do. But
are you seeing, speaking of abuse, are you seeing this new show, Quiet on Set? What a clever name, by the way.
I
haven't seen it, but I know of it, and it's definitely trending now. It's Nickelodeon and kid abuse.
Yeah, so it's all I'm seeing on TikTok. I just watched the first episode, so I'm bad with names. Dan somebody and Brian somebody, head writer and I think producer on a lot of Nickelodeon shows, were extraordinarily abusive, and like it was written into the shows and sketches. I think this is like the most horrifying thing that I guess Dan Schneider, I think is his name, had an obsession with feet. And so they're showing all these clips of like Amanda Bynes and fucking Ariana Grande, like where there's bits with them as kids. Wow. With adults like massaging their feet and just like feet everywhere. It's sinister as fuck.
Does it seem like they're almost giggling at it? Like, hey, look. And then me and the boys.
Yeah,
come,
I mean,
we know,
yeah,
what we're doing.
In hindsight, yeah, exactly. Where it's like it's abuse in out loud. It's what is it? There's another documentary like Secret or whatever. I can't remember this other documentary, but it. Yeah, where it's like they're laughing in our faces, like look at us exploiting these kids right in front of your faces. Oh, and the amount of squirting scenes too, like candy bursting in Jamie Lynn Spears' face. That's been a clip that was a sketch on one of these Nickelodeon shows. And there's no other way to understand it other than that's. And I guess the actors, so they have a bunch of actors who were extras and, you know, not the like main people interviewed. And they're all saying that, like, yeah, the like 12-year-old boys on set were like, oh, that's totally a cum shot going on right there as they're watching like their 12-year-old co-star get like slimed in the face.
Oh, I see. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes me think of comedians when you look back and they're joking about shit they're actually doing. Louis C.K.'s masturbation material isn't so funny anymore. Chris D'Elia talking about going around and fucking fans isn't so cute anymore.
Woody Allen,
the movie.
It's like,
what are you doing? What do you think? You're laughing.
You could not be more
right
out loud about it. Yeah.
Right. And yeah, Louis C.K. when he did a Woody Allen type movie. It was like, yeah. Oh, this you're like laughing.
Well,
it's like he's getting off
on getting away with it. And again, right. I think that is necessarily a part of those kinds of sickos. So, yeah.
Is it safe to say you're a sensitive person?
Highly sensitive.
Like nobody would say I'm sensitive, for example. are you able to watch these shows? This, for example, quiet on set. It doesn't put you in a tizzy.
Well, I've had to do a lot of work with my therapist around, you know, making sure I'm taking care of myself and not watching triggering stuff. But I've done enough work and talked about my own experiences that it's not just like every day for me, but I don't mean to brag, but I have a very robust history of sexual trauma in my life that I've done a lot of work around. So I can watch these things without them like triggering me writ large. Right. But yeah, I still need to be careful because sleep is hard and I don't know. Yeah. I don't need anything making it harder.
It's a real to do for you to sleep because you can't trust sleep anymore.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah, my first encounter of sexual abuse as a kid happened when I was asleep and I was trigger warning.
So even now,
I was drugged.
Sure. So even now, like you won't lock your door, lock your windows, but you won't take a sleeping pill, right?
No. I mean, this is the fucking tricky part is, I've had doctors suggest this as I was dealing with insomnia, but given the nature of the abuse was like drug facilitated, that sleeping pills just like trigger me more. So anything, any sedatives
You were given sedatives more than once?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like how they did it. Yeah. Yeah.
A family that member?
It was my grandparents' best friends who would, was a couple who would babysit me, in the afternoons, during preschool. So I'd like went to preschool in the morning and then they would take care of me in the afternoon.
What ages?
I was like 4 or 5.
Do you know to say anything that young?
No, absolutely not. No, what 4 or 5 year old knows fucking anything.
Do you know what's happening at the time, or did you have to be older and look back?
No, this is the thing I've had to do a lot of therapy around. Is it like I knew it felt bad, and I started showing signs that a lot of kids who are sexually abused do, which is, I didn't wet the bed at night, but like before, like during pickup time, where kids would be sitting waiting for their caretakers to pick them up. I would pee then, like on purpose, because I really didn't feel safe and wanted to go home. That's when I started getting migraines, felt sick all the time. So it was showing up out loud in my body, but I had no words for what was going on, but I knew I didn't ever want to go to school or see those people. Yeah.
You love cats. You happen to be wearing a cat shirt. I'm not being funny when I say this. that's like a cat move. Like a cat needs attention,
right?
Starts,
oh my god,
pissing around the house.
Keith, thank you so much, that's so nice. I will take
I'm a cat
associated to a cat. I did the best I could to try and protect myself. I peed. I puked in their cars. You know, I did what I could, but I was a kid. I couldn't. There's limits to how much I could protect myself. Obviously.
Do you still see these people? Like, do you have to?
Oh no, they're long dead. They're long dead. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Does family ever downplay it? Oh, melodramatic over here. We've all had problems.
Oh, it's still open secret. That's the word I was trying to.
Open secret's the show. Okay.
Well, no, I feel like that's like another documentary, but it's just like this thing. It's an open secret in my family.
I see.
Still. So downplay. Yeah, it's still. I was discouraged from talking about it. Like, I first told my parents when I was 17 or 18, and I was discouraged from telling anybody in the family because we don't want to ruffle feathers. And they were my grandparents' best friends. My grandparents were still alive. So. Yeah, no, the secondary trauma of how people handle the abuse is like often more lasting. And for me, it totally was because once I told, it was like, no, you just keep that to yourself.
But you're believed though? They just don't want to hear about it, or you're exaggerating? We don't even want to talk about it. Are you believed?
Oof. Sure. Yeah, I feel like as years have gone on, I've been more believed, but I don't know. I'm often, it's just been made very clear to me and my family. We don't talk about this. No one wants to hear about it, even though I haven't been flat out disbelieved around that. Yeah.
And I'm not saying this, I'm really not, but have you looked into the idea or did you talk to a therapist about this? You're non-binary. Are you just trying to get away from being a girl because girls get hurt? Has that ever become a thing in your family or therapy?
I mean, yeah, it's a thing I've done therapy around and doing therapy around, and is like a thing I'm constantly sort of questioning as I, you know, come into my like gender and am on this gender journey. And it's really hard to articulate, but I have gotten to a place where I can separate. There is a different feeling in my body where I just like don't feel like a girl. And also, yeah, some of how I feel about how I am perceived and treated and have been treated in my life will obviously impact how I like the gender I want to be. And I don't know. I feel like that's okay. I think it's been important for me to get to a point where like it can be all of the things together, not just like I was born this way. I don't even know. I can't. My first memories were of abuse. I can't get to what I was born as.
Do you think of yourself as, if anything, more male than female or completely non-binary?
It depends on the day. Depends on who I'm talking to. It depends on the situation.
If somebody has to help move, it's like, hey, easy.
That's when I'm like, oh, yeah, look at my muscles. I'm going to come out. I'm going to help you. I can take care of shit. And that's something I felt like since I was a kid. But I think for me, non-binary, a lot of it is actually how I feel in my body, and like about the fucking growths on my chest that I'm trying to get rid of this year. So
you don't say tits or breasts, right?
Tits is just, I can't get on board. Breasts, yes, that is technically what they are.
Right.
I say boobs, but yeah, also that I've been talking about them more, and they do, again, don't mean to brag, they're pretty nice, but just shouldn't be on my body. You know, and it's like I love boobs. I can appreciate a good boob, but yeah, I just don't. When I look at them in the mirror, I'm like, could I donate them to somebody?
Like I'd have a paperweight or something like that. Like it would be a shame, right? You just throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you think this year you're going to get them off?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hoping to work towards that. I've been thinking about it. I mean, my whole life, but. It's been more serious the past few years and having it out loud more. Yeah, I'm 2024. I'm hoping this is the year.
This is the year.
Yeah. I'm hoping this is gross. The year.
is it hard to talk about it with people? Because I have to imagine everybody would say, no, don't do that. You just said you look good. Why would you do that?
Yeah, it depends on the person. Can't talk about it with my family. And I mean, that's like one of can't talk about any of this stuff with my family. Not that I'm looking to. But yeah, it is kind of hard when people sort of look at me and are like, what are you complaining about? I'm like, I don't know how to tell you that I feel like an alien in my own body a lot of the time. And like, I just want to get rid of these things.
Right. Is your family a conservative family?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're breathing a certain way. Yeah.
Like a QAnon adjacent in some ways. Yeah.
So that Trump joke in the beginning wasn't very funny.
No.
Shit, I can picture weird
They're
shit.
Like the kind of Canadians who are pro Trump, which is just a special kind of person.
What you you do come from money. I've heard you say this publicly before. And in that you never have to work again, right?
I don't experience financial insecurity. I don't have to worry about making money for myself.
Are you a multimillionaire?
Generational wealth. Not right now.
Because your money's being watched over by somebody else?
Well, it's just, you know how it works, generational wealth. People have to die.
No, I don't. Oh, okay.
People have to die. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you make like fatty meals for the family, things like this?
Do I what?
Nothing. I don't know. I was just thinking out loud. How'd they come into the money? Can I ask that?
Well, my grandpa was a very savvy businessman, entrepreneur, and he built a bus company in Canada, and it was a family business. He worked his ass off. My mom and her siblings worked for them, and I am the beneficiary of that.
Is there guilt associated with it? Hey, I don't like this family, but
that's a big topic in therapy constantly. I just happened to be born into this family. I did nothing to like receive this like support that I think everybody deserves to like not be constantly worried about money.
Is it hard to do people try to take advantage of you, so-called friends, and do you find yourself feeling unnecessarily, I would say, guilty when somebody's struggling that happens to be your friend and you got to check yourself? Does those things happen?
Yeah, I mean, being taken advantage of, thankfully, no. I've got a great therapist, pretty rigorous with sort of like knowing and understanding that money brings up a lot in relationships and I can't just like give it freely, and it's not my responsibility to feel guilty for anybody who is, you know, not born into the situation that I'm in. But yeah, it's a part of my relationships. I don't know. It's just the kind of person I want to be in the world. Like, I didn't do anything if I go out for dinner with friends, it's easy for me. Like, I can pay for it. Easy peasy.
Are people expecting it and it gets a little insulting?
No, I generally have not experienced that, thankfully.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you brought this up in therapy, it wasn't day one, right? When they can figure out what they're going to charge you? Did you wait a little bit? Like, let's talk about sex abuse, then we'll talk about how much I can pay you.
Good question. But actually, I think, I mean, a part of what I didn't grow up with like this much sort of space and support. It's sort of increased in the past few years because of how things with the company went. So I haven't always just been living like this life. So, which I'm grateful for that I wasn't just like born into this kind of privilege. Like I did go to school with the idea that I will have to work and support myself, but it's just been in recent years, the way that people dying, company going, you know, has flowed where,
gotcha.
The circumstances have changed.
Does getting this money affect if you get your growths removed or not?
What do you mean?
Like, do you need somebody to die to have the money to get rid of your breast, or it's unrelated? You're just still making sure that's what you want to do.
No, yeah. As it relates to my family, it's less about money. Like thankfully don't, like when I want to, I will be able to pay to get it done myself. But with my family, it's more like I've just been dragging them along to like be okay with me calling myself queer that like non-binary trans stuff is so foreign to them that it's more of a like emotional thing than a way more of an emotional thing than I'm relying on them for money for it.
When you have sex, are people allowed to be vocal that they enjoy your vagina, or it's just things are getting done but don't really talk about it?
No, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay. My vagina's okay. Yeah, yeah.
But you shouldn't. People shouldn't be grabbing the breasts. You have to act like they're not.
Well, we have to talk about it. That's a thing that we have to talk about. Yeah, and I mean that has ended a couple, you know, sexual relationships because they were like, felt like they were doing lip service. Like they were like, oh yeah, I got the they them down, but
I see.
Then didn't do any. It was clear they weren't doing any work to sort of unlearn like how they think about like bodies and gender, and that they were still obsessed with my breasts. And I was like, well, this doesn't feel good for me. Do you just she her me already?
Right, right. Do you ever say, by the way, you're gay now to somebody? And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that is something I like doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, keep me updated on your journey. I don't know if I'm gay. I picture someone saying, you know. Sometimes I would talk to you after you've gone to therapy, and it seems this therapy, I don't know what they're doing over there, but it really ruins a day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have to, go?
Say I'm not ruin a day, but yeah, it's a lot, man. Living is hard.
Right. Are you suicidal?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't been in a long time. Yeah. But, like, that doesn't mean that I'm, like, actively trying to stay alive sometimes.
I see. You know? Like what? Like not eating?
No, I put a lot of effort into eating. I don't know. You don't it's cross just, like, the, what's the point? It's just kind of, like...
You don't look both ways before crossing the street?
I don't know how to articulate it. It's more of just like a, I don't know, what are we all here for? Anything could happen at any time. So like,
do you bum people out at like dinner? They're like, okay,
but sometimes. Yeah. 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 And some people are surprised because I can often come off as like quite jovial and like, you know,
are you a positive person?
Smile, laughing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I'm talking with other people, I want other people to try their hardest to stay alive, but...
Right. Okay. What's the recurring thing in therapy that keeps surprising you or upsetting you or just making you think about that makes you sad?
Again, it just... A lot of it comes back to just my life started with one of the most sort of like horrifying things that somebody could do to a kid. So, and then that coupled with like growing up in a pretty like oppressive, like stuffy white conservative family. I'm still unlearning a lot of the baggage around that. And I don't, my dad's big theme, recurring theme.
Was he sexually inappropriate?
Yeah. And some, yeah, that's a, yeah.
Do you guys still talk?
No.
Okay. You know, no. So I didn't have a dad as bad as what it sounded like yours was, but.
Well, no, don't go so far.
Thank you. That's sweet to say. Explain.
Yeah. Well.
But I enjoyed that while you're working on the Dad Emails book art and we're talking about it a lot. Even when the saga was going on, me catfishing my dad while my dad's hitting on my ex-wife, not once did you say, hey, is this too much? My friends have. In the beginning, almost everybody has. Now, the book's done. You see, he didn't stop for a year. It's evident that my friends were wrong, and you know they almost apologize now. That never came up from you once. And I wonder if it's all because of this. Like, yeah, believe people.
Yeah. And actually, Keith, I'll say that when you were first, like when this whole saga first started happening, we were not friends yet or talking. I can't tell you how timely and helpful that was for me because I was in this moment of figuring out, like, can I have my dad in my life? Can I not? We're, yeah. I was born on his birthday. I came 3 weeks early. We've had this like weird, like intertwined, like personality thing our whole lives, which he's used a lot. And
how do you mean?
Well, like he's used that to ingratiate himself to me in like in my life. Like we are forever connected, not only because I'm your dad, but like you were born on my birthday because of the stars.
Right.
And how confidently you were just like not giving a shit and like this like I don't owe this person anything. Fuck this guy. It actually gave me a lot like more courage and boosted me to be, because I'm the only person in my family who's ever held my dad accountable for anything. And that's extraordinarily painful, which I'm sure you, right. I mean, you've experienced too. Like being the only person who calls out the bullshit is a really like hard position to be in.
I have a sibling that is angry at me for sharing this information. I'm like, how are you closer to my dad than me? That's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, that's something I grew up in this like cult of family, like family is everything. And we keep things within the family. You don't share family business. And like, I grew up in that context. And so witnessing you do what you did alongside with the therapy I was doing, which my therapist encouraged me, like, these aren't my secrets to keep. It's not my, like, I wasn't the one doing the abuse. Like I'm not betraying anybody by saying things out loud and creating boundaries for myself, that actually, yeah, what you did really helped me. So yeah, there was never a second where I thought you were going too far.
I saw pictures that you were at a family wedding not too long ago. Do you run into your dad there?
No, that wedding, myself and my mom and my sister were the only family members invited. My dad's on his deathbed, so he couldn't have gone anyways.
Knowing therapy speak, getting in touch with your feelings after all these years, is it easy to see when somebody's closed off with emotion? Is that frustrating?
It's fairly easy to see. Is it frustrating? Sometimes, but mostly it just hurts my heart. I just feel like, oh man, there's so much pain in the world. I don't know how any of us are supposed to live here and stand it. And so if somebody's closed off, it just feels, and then I, you know, was the rescuer in my family. So I'm like, how do I help? I'm going to be the person to get them to talk.
No. Your dad's is worse than mine. I promise.
Yeah. Don't you worry. Really, I promise. Don't say more.
Don't sell yourself short. Yesterday, we were talking to Catherine, my ex, and Bianca Brady. And they also equated what was happening on that show with Henda's last show, saying, it seems I'm talking about news topics instead of what my feelings are. Did that seem closed off to you? Because to me, there's only these emotions about doing the show without Henda. Nervousness and excitement, and there isn't more. I'm not angry. I'm not thrilled. But I do think it's that simple. Does it seem like I'm not in touch with my feelings?
No, I think you're in touch with the feelings you,
you
have accessible to you.
Thank you. Just checking.
And I think I listened to the last week, and I think, is it okay if I do some cuts? Yeah, that Rod and Karen, I think Rod was saying that, you know, it's not like it just happened yesterday. Like, you know, you've been processing it for months, you know, I think as a community we have. And so, I mean, I very much appreciated how Bianca was like, is the floor open for questions?
Right.
How are we not? You know, I did appreciate her at least like acknowledging the thing, but then, I believed you. Yeah. That those are your feelings. And
like, honestly, I thought we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Before news, that's what I thought. Yeah, here we are. It's awkward. It's weird. Yeah. It's goofy.
Yeah.
I've done shows by myself before. I've done shows with where Henda was, you know, laid up for one reason or another. But this, of course, is weird because there's not a, you know, an end to it. And so, yeah, that's it. It's weird. It's nerve wracking. But I got a fucking soundboard. Fart.
No, I think you're doing great. Farts.
That's good. Oh, it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good.
Can't wait.
You're neurodivergent. Would you say that?
Diagnosed ADHD. Yeah.
Okay.
And highly sensitive person is sometimes other words for that is autistic. But I don't know. I got some shit going on.
Yeah, don't worry, you're fucked up. Don't worry. I seem to be, and I mentioned this, and I was being a little silly saying I'm Team Virgin, but these people always seem exciting to me that they don't have time for small talk. But unfortunately, their hell seems to be, in general, I know it's a big umbrella, but in general, their brain is always buzzing. They can't shut it up. Meanwhile, when I did, you're nodding. Meanwhile, when I did OMAD with Hemda, one of the minute exercises was, people said it was their hardest. And it was meditating where you think nothing in your head. And I'm like, honest to God, that's the easiest fucking exercise. Gratitude is harder. I'm like nothing's in my brain. I'm sleeping awake. Done.
You need the opposite of a meditation exercise. Like, I feel like some people need, like, not how to calm your thoughts, but maybe you need to practice having more thoughts.
I see. And then say, like, just clear your mind. Not you, Kate. You have work to do later today. And I'm like,
right. Yeah, it's like more clear than it already is. What?
I felt like I was acing it, but maybe not. I just saw this. You know the show Growing Pains? It's with Kirk Cameron, and Kirk Cameron had this friend named Boner, which, by the way, that was just to be funny and say Boner. It's not a real name. You didn't have to make the character's name Boner. He was what was his last name? He was in that show Stabone, Richard Boner Stabone, and so they changed. Okay. She's like, no, his name's Stabone, but his friend calls him Boner. I'm like, you're saying penis, and this is a fucking kid.
This is just reminded me of a thing that I just learned on this Quiet on Set that right. I guess on the Amanda show, Amanda Bynes is like a character or something that she played was called Penelope Taint.
Oh.
T-A-Y-N-T, which a lot of people thought was just Tate, and they're bringing this up that this was a joke in the writer's room, and I guess all the writers were like, no, don't tell anybody that's what we mean. We're like, obviously they're making that joke. Yeah, yeah. Amanda, Penelope Taint, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Boner.
Boner was found dead by suicide, they're saying, in Vancouver.
That's where I am.
His father was Walter Koenig. His name is Andrew Koenig. Walter Koenig was a Chekhov in the original Star Trek. I just learned that. Search teams were combing the park for a few days because they knew this guy. They couldn't find him, but did enjoy spending time in the park. They're not saying how he killed himself, but foul play. It looks like there wasn't foul play, that he went to the park deliberately to kill himself. These TV shows, you can't be calling a kid Boner. It's not going to end up well.
You can't be calling a kid Boner or Taint. That'll fuck them up.
Right. the world, is there sometimes when I do the bummer news stories on Keith and the Girl that you have to turn it off or fast forward?
Nah.
Okay.
I know you. Yeah, nah.
Okay, good.
I sometimes might like turn my brain off, but
right.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is a sick fucking world. I noticed this. Walking down the street, a sign on a cab, it's Lyft, but there's on Lyft, like Uber, on Lyft, you can click a button that says Women Connect, and and the sign read, the ad, Rides for Women by Women, because it's it seems so fucked up, you can now request women. But
didn't
it's meant
they do
for,
this already?
I just found out about this.
Oh, okay. I feel like, maybe I heard they were talking about it. But, like, how do you do that logistically? Maybe that's why it didn't follow through. Like, how does that work logistically?
I think
how
do you just click a button so you get a woman, I guess, if you're a woman.
Right, but just, but like, then, anybody could, you know, yeah, how does that work out for the woman drivers?
Right.
Anybody can click, I want a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and it's 2024. You can't tell me that I'm a man and say no. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No, exactly. Shit gets complicated.
Right. Oh, God. I saw here a Royal Caribbean cruise ship employee placed hidden cameras inside people's bathrooms, recording girls naked, even hid under guests' beds to film them coming out of the shower. Those staterooms are so small. I don't know how you don't feel that energy.
How
isn't this the death penalty, without exaggeration?
Yeah. Hiding under the bed?
Arvin Marisoy, 34, a cabin attendant on the Symphony of the Seas, was arrested on voyeurism and child porn charges after a girl found a camera affixed to the counter underneath the sink. The girl shared the cabin with her mom and sister during the cruise, and the three used the bathroom multiple times, of course, while being recorded. This is death penalty.
That's horrifying. I love traveling. I love going places by myself. I hate that it's just like increasingly a thing where I'm like, probably being recorded, probably have been recorded. They've just like accepted that that is a likelihood given how many of these stories keep coming out.
If I go into a hotel room or a bathroom for one, I just look around and I go, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck off.
I see you.
My dick's out. The other hand has a middle finger up. Fuck off. You
enjoying it?
Yeah. Perverts. You're fucking disgusting.
So gross.
Yeah. Here, you know what? Here's a little fun news, for real.
Sure.
A highly anticipated NASA mission slated for October will aim to send a spacecraft to Jupiter's moon Europa. It's an ocean world considered to be one of the best places to search for life beyond Earth. Exactly. Exactly. You got to go to space. There's an ocean on some moon.
They're using the ocean as a metaphor.
That's how exciting the ocean is compared to
the moon. We have the ocean already.
We have the ocean already. And if you love space so much, don't focus on oceans. And that you like oceans. By the way, I do love this Atlantic Ocean that it separates me and Sadia. I do.
Me too.
My God. Yeah. Oh, so many more emails pouring in, by the way.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's actually really fucked up. It's fucked up. It's not okay. And it's unsurprising to me that she came back in full force as soon as Hemda left.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. This is though why I punch waves. I need to keep that Atlantic Ocean choppy.
Yeah, fair. You know? Yeah. Send that energy back. Keep that separation. Yeah.
She said she can't swim. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Thank the Lord Jesus. This is so interesting. I think you're so interesting. Thank you so much for being part of this. Thank you again. Thanks. And the art is fantastic. You hear people say, right, in the chat room, for example, or on social media, how good the cover of the book looks, how good the cover to my last stand-up album looks. I tell people get the stand-up just for the art. Hopefully the jokes hold it up.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's true.
The jokes are really great, too.
Well, thank you. It's full. You get everything with this. You get good art, and it seems the jokes are okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Is there something the audience should know about you, how to see this art, or are you a good person to talk to about trauma if somebody has it? Is that interesting to you?
Working in therapy to not just be an open receptacle for trauma dumping. So don't come at me if you're looking for a therapist, but if you are in the work and want to talk about it with me, that is what's keeping me alive. That is what I live for.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
And rent's coming up for some people. Maybe they can reach out to you, you know, whatever's going on, see how you feel. Mallory Jane, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you.
Keep and the girl.com.